The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is another Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you could join us for this week's Netcast as we continue with our topic of spiritual gifts. First of all, I do want to say that I'm glad you could join me once again back in the office in my studio here. We've been doing it a lot from the living room, and now we're back in the studio. And we're tweaking and getting some things adjusted that I think is going to make it a much better, cleaner, crisper netcast. So kind of hang in there with me on that. Also, Word of Faith Radio, boy, there's a lot happening there. Brother Harold is playing the Shekinah Glory Ministers Conference from Europe, and he's doing that. I think he's playing it early in the morning. I think it's like 4 in the morning that he's playing that netcast. I tell you what, let me go check that on the website very quickly. And that's a good point that I should bring up here. And that is that you can always go to the Word of Faith Radio website, WFR.org, as it says here on the screen. And on that website, you can get all the most current information about Word of Faith Radio. Here it says, the 2010 Shekinah Glory European Ministers Conference was recorded in November of 2010. It will be airing beginning Easter Sunday. Now, as I record this, this is the Saturday before Easter Sunday. So this will be starting tomorrow on Word of Faith Radio. So Sunday, April 24th at 7 p.m. Eastern, and then continuing nightly at 7 p.m. Eastern time through the week, so Monday through Friday. But then for international listeners, this is what the part that I remembered. For international listeners, these same meetings will be broadcast every Saturday and Sunday at 4 a.m. Eastern time for several months. So he's going to have an extended period that these programs will be aired so that the international listeners that have different time zones, you know, we're here in the Eastern time zone in the United States, and so we're a little Eastern time zone centric, so to speak. So this will allow those in these other time zones to take part in these meetings. And they're exciting meetings with Shekinah Glory ministering in the Word and in the Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, they are a team that ministers in the Word and in the Spirit. So I'd encourage you to check that out. Very exciting stuff happening there with Word of Faith Radio. And as always, just tune in Word of Faith Radio whenever you have opportunity, because you're going to hear the uncompromised Word of Faith on Word of Faith Radio. Amen? All right, let's get back to our study. We left off last time just beginning to get into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I want to talk about some of the different aspects of this, because we're going to be talking about the proper operation of spiritual gifts in the church. Now, this is the key point. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 without understanding that he's talking about the operation of spiritual gifts and manifestations in the local church setting, then you'll get confused. And it will not make as much sense to you if you didn't keep that one salient point in mind. Okay? You need to remember that we're talking about the local church. And you can see that this is not something I'm just making up. You can see that right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Of all the times it says, in the church, in the church, in the church, in the local church setting. That's what he's talking about. Let's see if that's not borne out as we start reading here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity or divine love, God's love, and desire spiritual gifts. Now, the word desire here is drahaloo in the Greek. It means to have a warmth of feeling for, to covet earnestly, to desire, to be zealous. So we are to have a strong desire for spiritual gifts. And of course, remember that this term spiritual is actually one word, not spiritual gifts, two words. The word gifts, as you'll notice, is in italics. It was put there by the translators to help you understand it, at least from their point of view. But it's a desire for spiritual things. It's not just spiritual gifts, but spiritual life, spiritual manifestation, spiritual activity of the God kind. Amen? Not the satanic kind, not the demonic kind, obviously. But to desire spiritual manifestations. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, now, Dr. Bill, hold on just a minute. Just hold on. Because Jesus said, these people always seek for a sign. And he obviously said it in a way that was negative. He was saying the Jews were too interested in just seeing spiritual manifestations or miracles or supernatural occurrences. You guys are always looking for a sign and not willing to just listen to teaching. That was something that he leveled at them quite a bit. But we're not talking about just being desirous of seeing a sign from heaven to give credence to what you are teaching or saying. In other words, not a sign like a divine stamp of approval. No, we're talking about desiring spiritual life. See, that's why it's important to realize he's not just talking about spiritual gifts, the nine simple gifts of the Spirit here. He's talking about spiritual activity, spiritual life, spiritual, looking to the things of the Spirit rather than to the things of the natural. That's the point. And the point here is, if you're just looking at, I want a new car, I want a new house, I want, in the natural, you are not focused on the spiritual. Now, I know a lot of people say, yeah, but Dr. Bill, you're a word of faith man. You're a prosperity man. How can you say that you shouldn't be focused on these natural things? Well, because the Bible says, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added to it. Amen? Now, if you seek first the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, the betterment of the kingdom of God, the expansion of the kingdom of God by getting people born again, all these things, they'll just be taken care of. Amen? That's the point. All right, let's keep reading here. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And he's going to bring that point home here in just a minute. Remember, in the church. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, see, in a local church setting, that's why this is important, speaketh unto men to edification and to exhortation and to comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Again, that's his main point in this chapter. What will edify people? What will build people up in the church? The word edify means to build up, like we would charge a battery. Edify, build up. So what's going to build up people in the local church? Individually speaking in tongues? Well, yeah, that helps them individually. That's what he's saying. But it doesn't help the group, the congregation that is there to hear the word of God. But prophesying would. Speaking forth from the word of God and from the Holy Spirit is going to help people. We'll get into a little more detail on that as we go through here. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, verse 4, edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues. Hold the presses. If you look in any other translation, you'll see what it says is, I want you all to speak with tongues. Did you get that, folks? He said, I want you all to speak with tongues. Okay? But that's not his main point. His main point is not you speaking in tongues. In this chapter, his point is what will help the body and the local church. So let's keep reading. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except that he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Did you see what his focus is here? The local church meeting. That the church may be edified, because the church will hear someone speak in a language that they understand. Okay? So let's keep reading verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? If I get up in front of a crowd in the local church and just start speaking in tongues, they're all going to just kind of look at me and go, wow, he's speaking in tongues. But it doesn't benefit them. It doesn't edify them. Now, I'm getting personally edified based on what he said earlier in the chapter here. I'm being edified. I'm being built up. But the church isn't being built up. And that's his main point. That's what I want you to see. His main point is in the church. Okay? So he says, here's what you need to do in a church situation. When you get up behind the pulpit and you stand up there, he said, speak by revelation. You get a revelation from the Lord, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, some form of revelation. Or by knowledge, that is accumulated knowledge that you have studied from the Word and you're teaching and preaching the Word of God through your own knowledge of the Word. Or by prophesying, speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort supernaturally. Or by doctrine. Doctrine, of course, is teaching. We think of doctrine as this list of do's and don'ts that the church puts out. But that's really too focused in a sense. We may have a list of things that our church believes. I have a statement of faith on the website. If you go to wofm.org and click on the little link there that says what we believe, it will tell you what I believe. Amen? That is doctrine. But it stems from, if you look at that list that I have out there, what we believe, it stems from the Word of God, from teaching of the Word. And that's why there are references, scripture references, to all those points in the What We Believe page on my website. Amen? So your church may have a similar list of things you believe, but the doctrine comes from the teaching. That's what doctrine means, teaching. And actually, if you look at it, it is the Greek word didache, and it means instruction or teaching. So, it's very clear that he's talking about teaching the Word. Well, hey, when I get up in front of a group of people, that's going to be the primary thing I'm going to be involved in as a teacher in the body of Christ, is teaching the Word. Amen? All right, let's keep reading. Verse 7. And even things without life-giving sound, whether they're a pipe or a harp, musical instruments, for instance, except they give a distinction of the sound, in other words, a clear sound, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? In other words, how shall you recognize a tune? If I got a hold of a trumpet and started trying to play it, it would not sound like a tune. You know, it'd just be noise. And that's what he's saying. If you're just going to make noise, how is anybody going to understand that there's supposed to be a tune? But if you start playing a tune and, you know, it's a song that you're aware of, you start humming along and you start singing it, you get in the flow, so to speak, of the person playing the instrument. And you enjoy praise and worship. Amen? So, he says, without a distinction of a sound, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, verse 9, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. In other words, you're just making noise as far as they're concerned. Verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices or languages in the world, and none of them are without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh unto me shall be a barbarian, or be a barbarian unto me. Verse 12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts or spiritual things, seek that you may excel, here it is, to the edifying of the church. This, again, is his main point in this whole chapter. The edifying, the building up of the local church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret, so that the whole church is edified. That's his point. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray in the Spirit. Now, listen to this closely. I will pray in the Spirit. He's not saying don't pray in tongues. Matter of fact, remember earlier he said, I want you all to speak in tongues. So he says, I will pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than ye all. Now listen, he's saying, I, Paul, speak in tongues more than all of you there at that Corinthian church. Woo, that's a lot of talking in tongues, praise God. Amen. And yet he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Verse 19, yet in the church, he draws us back to the point of his teaching here. What about the local church? In the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips shall I speak unto this people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church come together, once again, I have to point out, that's his main point in this teaching. When the whole church comes together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in one of the unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you're mad? I mean, if all you did was come to church and speak in tongues all at one time, and an unbeliever came in, man, they'd look around and go, what in the world is happening here? And they wouldn't get any benefit from it. That's what he's saying. And that's apparently all the Corinthian church was doing. They were just meeting together and coming together and just speaking in tongues all the time at the same time. Well, you know, they're getting individually edified. But what about the unlearned coming in? What about the unbeliever coming in? They need to hear words they can understand. And that's his point. So he says, therefore, if the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and they're coming in one of the unlearned or unbelievers, will not say you're mad. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not or is unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? When you come together, see, I want to emphasize this. He's talking about when you come together. At home, pray in the Holy Ghost. In your car, driving down the road, pray in the Holy Ghost. You'll be edified. You'll be built up. You'll be uplifted. But in the local church, in a public meeting situation, it's far more important to have a doctrine, have revelation, have knowledge preached from the Word of God. Okay? How is it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine or teaching, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. See, tongues and interpretation can still operate as prophecy and help and bless a group of people. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and then by course, or in other words, one at a time, and let one interpret. If there be no interpreter present, let him keep silence in the church, in the church, in the church. See, again, he's talking about in that local church setting. And let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If any other thing be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. In other words, do it decently in order, and that's his whole point in the local church. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And here's how you can do that. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, when you get a word and the Lord is prompting you to give it out, it is still subject to you timing-wise when to present that, and it can be done decently and in order. For God is not, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And then he gets into the woman question, and we're going to pick up with that next time. So we'll pick up with that particular issue next time around on the broadcast. Amen. See, Dr. Bill, you're waiting. You got to the controversial point, and then you quit. Well, some of this other is probably controversial, too. But we're going to pick up with that, and you're going to see that there's not a lot of controversy here. It's not as controversial as you think it is. It's just people have twisted this, and they've gotten it all bent out of shape over the years, and it really is quite simple, praise the Lord. Now, I want to take just a few minutes to remind you a couple of very important things. One is, once again, Word of Faith Radio, WFR.org, right here on the bottom. Third, you can see the website. I'd encourage you to check that out. Also, all of the stuff that's going on WOFR and our website. I don't want to forget to mention that. WOFM, Word of Faith Ministries, WFM.org, once again, as it says right here. Check that out as well, because it is a blessing. Well, there's just so much out there. I have worked very hard to try to make sure that there's a lot of information out there that will be a blessing to you and to your family and to your friends. Now, here's something that I think a lot of people haven't considered. You may have family all over the country. In fact, you may have family all over the world. And they may be in other countries. And you hear something on the netcast, and you think, oh, man, I wish my brother could hear that, or I wish my cousin could hear that. You can go to the website, WFM.org, click on the link to view our netcasts, and then you'll see there's a whole page there with all the netcasts and all the dates that they were originally recorded right there on the webpage. Those are links, okay? If you hover over those links with your mouse, this is a trick. This will help you. Hover over the link with your mouse, right-click, and copy the link. That's one of the options you have in Windows. Right-click and copy the link. You can paste that link into an email and then send it to your cousin or to your brother or sister or whoever and say, watch this netcast, because it'll answer that question you brought up the last time we got together and Dr. Bill's talking about it. So that will help you to share information and good teaching of the word right through email. They can then click the link, the page will come up, and start playing the netcast, and they can watch it streamed live. Well, not live. as a friend of mine that does netcast says, as live as it can be. Which is live recorded. When I'm doing it, it's live in the sense that it's recorded. But then we record it, and we put it out on the web, and people can watch it whenever they want to. That's called on-demand video. VOD, video on demand. And so that's what it is. And if you click on that link, you'll be able to watch those netcasts. Amen. So right there, it becomes a mission tool, a tool for you to reach people with the Word of God by simply doing a right click right over the link. Just hover over it, right click, and then you can copy the location of that link and email it to folks. Amen. Other way you could do it is just tell them about the website, WFM.org. And I trust you'll do that. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Now, you can write us here at our regular mailing address, which is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. And then, of course, you can always send me an email. And, you know, particularly if you didn't quite get that little tip I gave you in your, what'd you say, Dr. Bill? Had that work? Well, one thing, you can back up the video and watch that part again, or you can just send me an email, and I'll send you a quick way to do it right in the email. And so you can send that email to Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Praise God. I just want to help you get the word out to other folks. Amen? Because that's my heart, to proclaim the word of faith, be a showcase of ministries, train people to fulfill the word of God. Amen? Praise God. Well, join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.